The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by Eno, the Capital One Assistant. What's in your wallet?
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Five bold predictions. What will go down in the first round of the NFL draft? I'll lay out those five bold predictions coming up for you on the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. He's probably the top wide receiver in this NFL draft. He's one or two, along with Jerry Jeudy. Possibly off the board in the top 10 picks. C.D. Lamb, Oklahoma, Sooners wide receiver, who destroyed my favorite team, the Texas Longhorns, caught up with me a little bit earlier, and I got to ask him about what he expects from tonight, where he got his name, and what he hopes for in his career. Here's C.D. Lamb. Before we get you set up on your new team tonight, start asking about where you're going to go in the NFL draft, let me take a second and ask you about your old team. Coming out of Texas, born and raised in Louisiana, you had offers from everybody. Alabama, the Longhorns. How'd you pick OU?
Just thinking about more of my future rather than just the school itself and not kind of where I want to go. Just making sacrifices and a lot of prayerful nights that I had just prayed to God and then helped him just give me some type of sign. And I was just watching college football. And when I saw what Coach Rattle was doing on paper and just on my, like, in person, just what he would do with the offense and how prolific it was, no matter who he had in, you're definitely going to be put in the best position to make a play. And that I wanted those positions and those opportunities, and that I got.
As much as I'm a Longhorn fan, I think all your analysis came exactly true. You had, as you said, interchangeable quarterbacks, continued production. Man, even though they were interchangeable quarterbacks, you had about as good as it gets, right? You got freshman year Baker Mayfield, sophomore year Kyler Murray, junior year Jalen Hurts. What would you say is the biggest difference between those three quarterbacks? We know all three were good, but what differentiated those three from each other?
They all three had different mindsets, and they all three obviously different physiques. They all love to win, and quarterbacks like that, it takes a lot to be very consistent and overcome a lot of adversity. And the three quarterbacks that I've had and that you've named, they've done a great job with just battling adversity and at the end of the day just playing their game and their brand of football, and that's what makes them so unique. Jalen can beat you. They all three can beat you on their through the air or on the run. It's just the way that they go about the game and how they approach the game and how much love they have and how much respect they pay into the game. And it's just been a great sight to see, just simply because of the fact that I'm on the team and I have a part. I played a huge part in their success, and I'm grateful for that opportunity.
Yeah, you had two straight 1,000-yard seasons. You caught 40 balls, 46 from Baker, over 60 from both Kyler and Jalen. But I imagine, man, just like the adjustment you're going to have to make now to some new quarterback in the NFL, you had to adjust to each of those three guys, right? What did you have to change in your game with the fact that you had a new quarterback every year?
It's a different approach to every game, every season. And in my freshman year to my sophomore year, and from my sophomore year to my junior year, it's three different mindsets. My freshman year was definitely to be the best freshman, obviously, in the country. And then my sophomore year was to take over the NFL, the college, the NCAA. And it's always been that way. Obviously, it didn't work out, especially, like, to my exact plan. But I feel like I've made a dominant force and a dominant impact on the NCAA college football level. And my junior year, it took the most out of me simply because I wanted it so much. I was not, like, I've done so much work simply to get to this position I am, and I refuse to stop now. So just being very consistent throughout my time and enjoying this process as this moment take note, and just taking it one day at a time.
C.D. Lamb, Oklahoma wide receiver, soon to be somebody else's wide receiver here on the Will Cain Show. I've seen you say this. So your name is Sidarian, and I know that a coach gave you the nickname CD. But you know what's as unique as the name is how you spell it with the double E, double E after the C and the D. How'd that come about instead of just the letter CD?
Honestly, it was in high school. You know, I was writing my name down one time, and I ended up putting E's on accident because, like, I put two C, I put a C, and I was spelling Sedarian, and then I put two E's on accident because obviously I wasn't paying attention. And then I put the D, and I was like, well, we can just get right with this. And then that was it. So I made the decision in the class on how to spell it, and I turned my paper in, and she was fine with it, so I just took it in right with her.
Well, it looks cool. Let me go back to one more college question. You talked about your mindset each year, and you talked about your junior year, the production and taking over. Look, man, you heard me hint at it a moment ago. I'm a Texas alum. I'm a Longhorn fan. I watched every single Red Rivalry game, and you just destroyed Texas this last year. I mean, no one does things single-handedly, but on one play, I know you know which play I'm talking about. You made the whole damn defense miss. I mean, I don't know how many guys you made miss on that one touchdown play. Have you counted it up? I mean, does that play live in your dreams?
Yeah, it definitely replays a couple of times. And when I see it on social media, it definitely just like, wow. Like, because at the time, you don't think of it just being surrounded by five guys, nor just you think of it as this. But it always manages to work out that way, and it'll change. And it's just like everything happens so fast. Everything is just like all reactive. So
five, that's what it was? You counted it up, it was five guys?
Yeah, it was five guys.
Okay. CD Lamb here on the Will Cain Show. I saw you at the NFL Combine talking about some of your fellow big timers in this wide receiver class, because there's a lot. You talked about Donovan Peoples Jones, Jane Prochet, Jalen Reagor. I know, is there, you played him in the semifinals, is there a little bit of a rivalry for you with the Bama guys, with Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs? I mean, is there something for you there? You want to go before them tonight? You feel anything there?
Not really. In my eyes, I don't think it's really any tension. Just going out there and competing every day, they think that you ask each and individual Bama guy who's the best receiver, they're going to say themselves, simply because they're very confident in themselves, and that I am in myself. And I don't think there's any tension going on, no competition or anything. At the end of the day, we all want our dreams to come true. And obviously, right, the best situation for us, and we can't wait to hear our name called, and that's what we're looking forward to.
Oh, man, I'm excited for you. Two more quick questions. Who's calling you the most? Who are you getting the most attention from right now, day of the draft, professional teams that you might have us looking towards tonight?
I've been getting quite the attention, honestly, but I just don't know what to expect going to tonight, so I can't wait, and I'm very excited.
All right, man. And last thing, you know, Jerry Jeudy, it's always talked about his route running. You, it's more playmaking. It's not to say you don't run good routes, but that's kind of the comps they use. I've seen Hopkins mentioned. Who do you think's the best comp for you? If somebody's a fan of a team that drafts you tonight, what are they getting?
They're definitely getting one of the hardest working receivers in this draft, and I'm definitely going to do everything in my power to keep the momentum going from college to NFL. Granted that it doesn't happen too often like that way, or it doesn't show out that way, but I definitely have high expectations for myself, and they're going to get a competitor. Whoever drafts me, I'm definitely going to give you a competitive attitude, and I'm going to do everything in my power to be the best receiver.
All right, what are you doing with Old Spice?
I partnered up with Old Spice, and they've done a great day. They have a long history of just taking care of guys, and that they've done with me, just kind of enjoying this process with them. Being a young kid, just growing up, always wearing Old Spice, and now for me, the partnership with them guys has been, it's been a great deal. And we, as a team, we worked to give $320,000 to charity, just to help guys, the guys that not very privileged, or and just many families, just from me, just myself and all 32 teams, rookies from all 32 teams, just trying to come together and just be positive people for the community.
All right, man. That's great stuff. It's good stuff you're doing, and I wish you – it's going to be an exciting night. I'm excited for you. I know a lot of fan bases, or one in particular, that draft CeeDee Lamb, is going to be excited tonight. Good luck, CeeDee.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you.
That was CeeDee Lamb a little bit earlier with me here on The Will Cain Show. Sometimes when you listen to an interview back, I realize he said, it didn't work out exactly as I wanted or I had my plans envisioned. I wish I would have paid better attention and followed up on that. I usually pride myself on that, and I didn't hear that. I can only assume he was talking about the national championship. They didn't get that accomplished. All right, coming up, five bold predictions for the draft tonight. I'm going to tell you things that I think will happen, five specific things that we should watch for. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security. Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag. Done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Five bold predictions for what will go down tonight. As the most unpredictable and unlikely essential piece of the Bulls dynasty, Dennis Rodman is virtually all Jordan can count on in the early months of the 97-98 season. With Phil Jackson seemingly the only coach who can steer this unique collection of talent to another title, management insists it's his only season, his final season in Chicago. Episodes 3 and 4 of The Last Dance premiere this Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. Okay, here are five things that I think will happen tonight in the NFL draft. Number one, there will be trades. Wait, it gets bolder. I think the Atlanta Falcons will be trading up in this NFL draft. It has been widely reported they're looking to trade up. I think they're going to pull it off. There's too many teams that want to move down. In fact, there's more teams that want to move down than move up. The Browns, the Jags. There are teams that are going to accommodate the Falcons' desires. Maybe it just ends up being the Niners at 13, but they're going to find a partner. So the Falcons, number one, will be trading up. Number two, a receiver or receivers are going to slide. Everybody's talking about Tua sliding, quarterback sliding. No, it'll be receivers that slide. Here's why. Two reasons. Number one, the supply just is endless at receiver. There are guys that you can get three, four rounds deep that are good at wide receiver. I mentioned them earlier when I was talking to CD Lamb. It's going to be guys like James Prochet, Devin Duvernay, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Michael Pittman in rounds two, three, four. You can keep getting big time receivers. So if you burn it up in the first, you better really, really believe. And I'm worried. I think he's probably my favorite receiver, Jerry Jeudy, in this draft. There's some concerns about his knee. So what I'm telling you is, not just slide, I will tell you one of the top three receivers, Jeudy, Lamb, or Ruggs, and most likely either Ruggs or Jeudy, will slide past 17. That'll give teams like the Cowboys at 17 or the Dolphins are 18. Those teams are going to have to ask themselves, do we want to take a receiver or do we want to wait? They're going to have some tough decisions because receivers will slide. That's number two. Number three. This is one of the reasons receivers will slide. It will have to do with my first prediction as well. It has to do with the Falcons. It has to do with cornerbacks. It has to do with this. There will be three cornerbacks taken in this draft before three receivers are taken in this draft. That's a bold prediction for you. Everybody has Ruggs, Lamb, and Jeudy gone by about 14, 15. And they think there's a huge drop-off after C.J. Henderson. It's Jeffrey Okuda and C.J. Henderson. I'm here to tell you whether or not it's A.J. Terrell or Christian Fulton. There is going to be a third cornerback that jumps up. And it might be predicated by the Falcons, who trade up to get Henderson or somebody like that, starting a run on quarterback, cornerback, which is not as deep as receiver. That takes me to number four. Offensive linemen will not slide. They will not last. The Buccaneers sitting at 14 will not get to take one of the top four offensive linemen in the draft. That is Tristan Wirfs, Mekhi Becton, Jedrick Wills, and Andrew Thomas. The Bucs will not get one of those four sitting there, thus increasing what I said earlier in the show. They need to send that second round pick to the Washington Redskins for Trent Williams tonight. Protect Tom Brady. You're not going to get one of the top youngsters in this draft So go ahead and secure your quarterback with a cheap price for a proven offensive lineman. And number five, the quarterbacks will be gone by six. Pat, if you can pull it up, it's 15-7-24. Louis Riddick, ESPN's NFL analyst, was on Get Up, and he said something in the opposite. He said something I disagree with. He said the Dolphins and Chargers could both pass. I disagree. Listen.
So I think when you have that kind of uncertainty surrounding two guys, one because of medical and one possibly because what actually is his upside, could both of those teams pass on two quarterbacks, and then you have Tua, Herbert, and Jordan Love as you move back, move on down the first round from pick seven on, and then I think all you know what could break loose, and there could be all kinds of teams trying to move up, and then that would just make you look. Obviously, that would make our broadcast pretty darn special, now, wouldn't it? And I have a sense, just from talking to people about it, and from looking at it objectively as I can. Could both of these teams pass on quarterbacks? I think it could happen.
I do not. I disagree with Louis Riddick there. My number five is that I believe both quarterbacks will be gone by the sixth pick, the Los Angeles Chargers, and I think Tua goes in the top five picks, and I think Tua goes to the Miami Dolphins specifically. After all the smoke clears, after all the analysis is done, Tua will be a Dolphin. The Falcons trade up. The receivers slide. The offensive linemen go. The cornerbacks go higher than anybody thinks. And the quarterbacks are gone, the top two, early. There's five bold predictions for you there on what goes down in the NFL draft tonight. If, though, in fact, Tua does slide, it does set up some interesting dilemmas. What is his floor? How far could he fall? Mike Florio, who doesn't get many things right, but at least it's interesting to note, in his mock draft today, had Tua sliding all the way to number 18, to the Dolphins' second pick. They get him, but they didn't have to spend their first pick on it in Pro Football Talk's mock draft. And that means something interesting. That means the Dallas Cowboys passed on Tua at 17. That means the Denver Broncos decide Drew Lock is their guy at 15. The Atlanta Falcons do not plan for life beyond Matt Ryan. That means the Las Vegas Raiders at 12 are not interested in Tua. The Jacksonville Jaguars at 9 every step of the way. The Carolina Panthers at 7. There are teams that could use a quarterback. Yesterday I told you here on the Will Cain Show, you always take the quarterback. I agree with Jimmy Johnson's analysis. If you believe he is a franchise quarterback, you take him, even if you don't have the need, and no matter where you're drafting. And I will tell you now, yesterday I said, I don't believe the Cowboys should do that. That analysis applies if Jordan Love is the quarterback sitting there at 17, because I don't think he's the franchise quarterback. But if Tua is the guy, not just the Cowboys, but every single one of those teams should take him. I believe in Dak Prescott. I love Dak Prescott. But if Tua falls to 17, and I don't think there's any chance that he does, you take him. Not to replace Dak, but because you have multiple assets. At a minimum, it gives you leverage against Dak Prescott's contract demands. At a medium, it gives you an alternative. Should you never negotiate a palatable deal for either side with Dak Prescott, you have an alternative, not named Cooper Rush, as future quarterback. And at a maximum, it is an increasing asset in your arsenal. You spend the 17th pick on Tua? You don't think you can flip that in a year or so's time as he heals and these injury concerns fade into the background for two ones a year from now? You bet you can. I would advocate if Tua slides to 17 for the Cowboys, you take him. And that analysis would apply as well to the Falcons, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Jags, and the Panthers. If Tua slides to 7, he should be gone. What could the Dolphins do to move up to 1, though, if Burrow is their guy? And that's what the reports indicate. They've been trying to get to 1. What is the trade package that could just money whip, or draft pick whip, the Cincinnati Bengals? What would it take to pry Joe Burrow, the number one pick, away from the Cincinnati Bengals? We'll explore that a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show after we talk to Mark Sanchez next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
What's the ideal situation for Tua, for Herbert, for Burrow? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things easier. They'll help you build your home, bundle your home, rather, and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. On the phone line now is former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez, who's, by the way, doing something with Showtime Sports, the three-part digital series featuring Mark and top NFL draft prospects. He goes in-depth with Tua, with Herbert, with Love. It's available right now on Showtime Sports on YouTube. What's up, Mark?
How we doing, Will? Good to hear from you, man.
You too, man. I don't think we've ever talked. I saw you, a little clip of you floating around the internet today. You got quite the mustache going, man. That's a new thing, right?
Yeah. You know, barbers are hard to find these days, so it's pretty ugly over here.
You don't get to blame that on the quarantine, man. That thing's shaped. It's styled. It's purposeful is what it is. It looks good. It's strong. It's real strong.
Appreciate it.
So let's talk about some of these quarterbacks, man. First, let's talk about you. So I did see this as well. You were on with Pat McAfee, and I did see it. You're talking about your situation with the Jets. It was a veteran team. It was prepped. It was ready to go. Would you say when you were drafted, is that close to ideal? Is that what these guys are hoping for, like a team that's kind of built up around you, ready to go?
Well, I think they're hoping for that. I just don't see it being the case right away for a lot of these guys. But I'm telling you, the best situation for these three guys, other than Burrow, I think Burrow is probably best set to walk right in and start right this second. And there'll still be a learning curve, right? He'll still have to jump over a ton of hurdles, just like I did, even with the veteran team. But if you're going to play right away, hopefully they go to a veteran team. If you're not going to play, get behind a Drew Brees, get behind an Aaron Rodgers. It's okay for the Packers to go take, you know, Justin Herbert or Jordan Love, because it doesn't threaten their starter. He's so established. It doesn't disrupt anything PR-wise or in the building. It doesn't send mixed messages to everybody else. Now, the Raiders go get somebody like that, it makes life tough on Carr and Mariota. You know, and I've been in that situation as well with Geno Smith and me being the starter. It's like, well, what are we doing? So they'd love to avoid those situations, but it wouldn't hurt them, especially a kid like Jordan Love, who's been compared to Patrick Mahomes. Look what happened with him. He sat behind Alex Smith, learned how to take care of the football. Andy Reid put him in a system that helped him understand timing, footwork, his reads, progressions. And then they cut him loose after learning from a guy who knew how to take care of the football, who knew how to throw the ball accurately, who had the process, the preparation, all those things down pat. So that was a huge benefit for Patrick Mahomes. Now he's reaping, you know, what he sowed that first year watching.
Mark Sanchez here on the Will Cain Show. I have to follow up. That's fascinating. So let's just say that Herbert slides, or Tua slides, or some talk of Tua sliding to the Raiders, and he gets picked 12th. He's behind Derek Carr. You said Geno Smith behind you. It puts you in a situation like, what are we doing? I'm really curious about what that means, that what are we doing. Does it just make you feel like you have no leash, no room for a mistake? Are they committed to
right,
me,
I mean,
all that stuff?
If you're not, yeah, are they committed to you? And same thing, that year, the Jets were going to pay me. We just had some coaching turnover. We just had a GM turnover. And that year, they owed me $8 million, no matter what, whether I played or not. Guaranteed, no offset. I was playing or not playing for $8 million. So my thing to them was, go get a receiver, go get a running back, go get somebody who can help this team now, use me this year, because the quarterback class wasn't strong that year, use me this year. If you don't like me, ditch me, but at least make the team better for the next quarterback or for when you re-up my deal. That blows my mind to this day why that didn't happen, because now we have me and Geno Smith. What are we going to do, pass the ball back and forth to each other? It didn't make sense. So for these guys like a Derek Carr, you know, it's, what does that mean to the rest of the team? They already signed Mariota. Now they go get a big-name quarterback. I mean, that's a huge question mark in that room, if you ask me. And then the guys on the team, they feel that. They got Instagram. They're watching ESPN and ABC tonight. They're watching this whole thing transpire. So what does that say about your team? Who's your guy? Who are we following? What are we doing? In a year with so much uncertainty, That to me could be the most detrimental thing for your team, unless you're just planning on building for the future, and this year isn't important.
Let me be devil's advocate for just one moment on that. So I saw Jimmy Johnson talking about this, and I know Jimmy lived it as well, because after they drafted Troy Aikman with the Dallas Cowboys, he went in the supplemental draft and immediately got Steve Walsh, right? And he was saying, if the Lions or Giants even can't trade down from 3 or 4, they should be drafting Tua and Herbert. And his whole idea, Mark, was quarterbacks like that are assets. They appreciate more often than not. And then you build competition. Whoever wins, wins. And whoever loses, I've got an increasing value asset on my team. But you see, it sounds to me like what you see is
Lions,
greater costs.
Lions, I'm down with that. Stafford's the starter, right? He's not going to unseat somebody like that. But the Giants, why would you do that to this kid who just started playing? Especially in New York, I'm telling you, that would be a bad idea, in my opinion.
So, and I get it. I mean, you've lived it. And by the way, it's easy from a distance for guys like me, or maybe even for Jimmy Johnson.
Not to say, who cares? Like, who cares? Right. The best guy plays. But it's not like that. I'm telling you,
there's
it's not like that in the locker room.
Clearly.
There's a divide. It's a whole animal that you'd like to stay away from.
Well, the animal you just said, I'm sorry, I think I was almost talking at the same time as you, dividing the locker room. That's a big part of it.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Because do we go with this new hotshot quarterback or the guy who we thought was our starter? Is he our starter? I don't know. What do you know? You know, that's how things start going. And then these rumors spread like wildfire. And then who knows? Whoever they want to play, plays.
So Mark Sanchez here on the Will Cain Show. I know you've talked to all three of these guys, been around them. So let me tell you what I have said today, what I believe about Joe Burrow. It seems like he's on another level from the other two. And that doesn't mean the other two aren't great. But whatever, and I know this is so removed analysis, not film study when I say this, but whatever it is, Burrow just seems to have it. Calm, confidence, not rattled in any situation, deliver strikes when they're most needed, third and long, whatever it may be. And he just seems to me, so for example, if the Dolphins are throwing, as rumored, tons of picks at the Bengals, I'm not interested because this one is the guy. This is the guy. Did you come away seeing the same thing?
I think you really do, but every quarterback, you know, there's always like a little doubt with each guy, right? So for Herbert, maybe it's his personality. Some people aren't, you know, gravitating towards his personality because he's a little more like Carson Palmer or Joe Flacco, and he's not, you know, fiery or excitable like a Phillip Rivers or something like that. Well, fine, maybe that's not your guy. Tua, it's the injury-prone history, fine. Without those injuries, I think he's hands down, he's probably the best player in the draft, and, like, it might not even be close because he's that good on film and so twitchy. And, I mean, he's got instincts that he almost can't even explain to you while you're watching the film. That's what I realized sitting down with him. That this guy makes decisions as he's processing information and his body's already reacting. It is unbelievable. And then a guy like Jordan Love, you're like, well, maybe he threw too many interceptions last year, a little bit like Mahomes his last year, a lot of turnover coaching-wise, you know, got to take care of the football, that sort of thing. Maybe we don't want to work on a project potential type guy. Okay, fine, so we want Joe Burrow. But if you're going to rank Joe Burrow with all those other guys, is he the biggest? No. Is he the fastest? No. Is he the strongest? No. Does he have the best arm? No. But you're right. He has that it quality. And all of them possess a little of it, but that kid really does, you know, stand probably at the front of this class of, man, he's really special. And things really did come together. So when you try and find the one thing, the chink in his armor, what's the problem with him? Why don't we want to draft him? Give me the devil advocate, like you said earlier. Mm-hmm. Was everything too perfect? Is he ever going to have a receiving core like that ever again? What kind of team is he going to be on? What kind of competition is he playing against? Can he stay, you know, healthy? All these kind of things. Who knows? He didn't win a quarterback competition in Ohio, so he left at Ohio State. Maybe he's not a competition guy. I don't know. You know, those kind of questions come up now. So everybody has their one thing, but, you know, they're all pretty special players. They're all fun to watch. And once you sit down with them, you just like gravitate towards them, you know, and you just root for them so much and you just hope for the best situation where they could sit, learn, really take in an entire season, understand what it's like to travel with the team, to warm up. How do you watch film? What are you looking for? Be coached, coach hard, and then go get a chance to cut it loose.
Yeah, it seems like that one thing with Burrow that people mention is it was just 1 year. Didn't do it at Ohio State, didn't do it first year at LSU. And actually what you brought up is so perfect with Tua, 4 first-rounders as his wide receiving core, first-rounders all over his offensive line. I mean, it was great for Tua at Alabama.
Exactly. But if he goes to the Dolphins, and let's say he has 13 other draft picks this year, well, that's still a project now. I wouldn't put Tua in the game this year. If he's my player, if I'm a GM and I'm picking him, he does not play his first year. And he doesn't like, I know he won't like that because he's such a competitor and he wants to play and he wants to win. And that's fine. But I would protect him from himself for one season, let him fully heal, and then cut him loose. But you still have a bunch of young players that he's got to grow up with and mature with. But then again, look at the division. The division's wide open. Tom Brady's gone. Let's see what happens in the AFC East. So who knows?
This crisis, this pandemic may play into Tua's rehab schedule anyway. I don't know when we'll play again. Mark Sanchez goes in depth with 2020 quarterback prospects, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, and Jordan Love, available on Showtime Sports YouTube. Mark, that was fun, man. I enjoyed it. Hope to have you again.
Awesome. Let's do it again. Appreciate it.
Okay. See you, man. Arizona, speaking of having football again, the athletic director at Arizona, oh, it's his president of the university, says he does not think there will be football in the fall. There's a new poll out, and I'll tell you, the number's overwhelming that if we do have football, it will be delayed by a lot. I'm going to share with you all of that coming up on The Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters, destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Some pessimism regarding college football. Share with you the details on a latest survey of college athletic directors. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Just tune in to Last Dance, behind the scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. And listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen Jacoby immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm and AT&T. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Dansby in Utah. What's up, man?
Man, you just mentioned that critique on Burroughs to Mark, which is that, you know, he's only had this one great season in one year. But, you know, I would almost argue that that's even more impressive. I mean, the guy didn't even play the year before, and then he comes out and has the most impressive season ever. So I feel like there's even more promise to this guy that people aren't really.
Well, he did play that year prior at LSU.
Right, but I guess that well. What I'm trying to say is he doesn't have the body of work compared to the other guys, which still I feel like is more impressive.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying, Dansby. It's like, what is that gift that everybody puts around? It's from the Family Guy, and it's like one of these giveaways, and he says, you can have a boat, or you can have what's inside this box.
The mystery
box.
This
is the mystery box. That's right. And what's in the mystery box? It could be anything. And his wife is like, take the boat. He's like, no, wait a minute. You don't know what's in the box. Could be anything. Could be a boat in the box. It's like, how do you treat the unknown? How do you treat the fact that you only have 1 year of Joe Burrow? Do you take that unknown and do you build promise or doubt on top of it? Does that make you think, oh, it's just 1 year? So be skeptical, or it's just 1 year. The sky's the limit. Look what he did in 1 year. I tend to think that 1 year was so overwhelming that I think you should probably project some promise into what the future holds for Joe Burrow. I'm a little surprised there's some Joe Burrow doubters out there. And if that's the case, stick around, because in the last hour of the Will Cain Show, let's talk about this reported Godfather offer they can't refuse. The Dolphins are throwing at the Bengals for the number one overall pick. If you are the Bengals, and you obviously do believe in Joe Burrow, what is the Godfather offer? What would you take to trade out of that pick? That's coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. University of Arizona President Dr. Robert Robbins. That's exact opposite of the ABC anchor's name. Robin Roberts. But he's Robert Robbins. I thought that was of note, and we should all highlight that for a second. University of Arizona President Dr. Robert Robbins said Wednesday that he does not anticipate the Wildcats playing football this fall, even though the university plans to bring students and faculty back to campus for face-to-face instruction during the fall semester. Now, that's interesting because that has been the threshold we've talked about. No football, said Bob Bowlesby, the conference commissioner of the Big 12, unless there's students on campus. If there's not students on campus, they're not playing football. But here is Dr. Robert Robbins, not Robin Roberts, but Dr. Robert Robbins saying, even if there are students on campus, that doesn't mean football. In an interview with KVOIAM in Tucson, Arizona, Robert Robbins, just to be clear, said he's worried about intercollegiate sports getting back to normal after the coronavirus pandemic. I'm really concerned about whether we're going to be playing football in the fall. Robbins told the radio station, my sense right now, I just don't see that happening. Some pessimism for you. In a new survey up at stadium.com, 85 of 130 Division I athletic directors said yes, they think there will be college football, but it will be delayed. And most of them said college football would start in either October or November. But to be clear now, Arizona President Robert Robbins, not the ABC anchor, but the Arizona president.
Are you okay, man? What's going on?
I'm doing great. I think I'm being a precise communicator here. He is in the absolute minority. Now, he's a president, not an AD, but 99% of athletic directors said that college football would occur at some point. At some point. But good, as I said, 85 out of 130 said delayed to October, November. Have I been a precise communicator? That was my goal. I just didn't want any confusion because those names are interchangeable. Did you notice, Pat? And do you think that everybody in the audience is aware who I was talking about?
I think you're just more impressed 30 seconds with yourself because normally you get things wrong.
I was very impressed because it was a little bit of a hitch in my giddy up there. I saw it and then I was like, I almost made the mistake, but then I didn't. And then I wanted to underline that and bold it and highlight it and then say it a couple times to reiterate. It wasn't Robin Roberts. It was Dr. Robert Robbins. So there you go. Put that in your pipe. Smoke it. Jeff Darlington's up next on The Will Cain Show. That'll be fun.
Thank you for listening to The Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.